I've witnessed this message today. Are you sure? You say, are you sure of what? Well, are you sure you're going to heaven? You say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. Well, I'm trying to get there, and I've really, really lived a pretty fair life, and I don't cheat, and I don't steal, and I pay my income tax, and I don't beat my dog. Well, those are wonderful things, but I want you to know the Bible is very plain in telling us that we may know. This is found in 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, that's what the Bible says. Now, do you believe it? You say, well, sure, I believe it. Well, friends, listen, and I'm sorry to say this, but there are so many wonderful people on our church rolls today who honestly, truthfully believe when they die, they're going to heaven. And here's the reason why. Well, I joined this church back in 1937. Or I was baptized in 1952. Or I've taken the Lord's Supper. Well, dear friends, that is no assurance. That is no assurance you're going to heaven. And I've had people say, and I'm not putting this denomination down or any denomination down, but I was preaching in prison not too long ago, and I said to this young man, son, I said, are you going to heaven when you die? And he said, well, why shouldn't I? I said, well, why should you? He said, because I'm a member of the Roman Catholic Church. And I said, son, do you really believe that's your only door to heaven? He said, yes, sir. Well, I said, you're in for a big surprise. Whether you be a Baptist, a Muslim, a Buddha, whatever you are, have you not been born again, you will not go to heaven. I don't care how many times you've been baptized and how many ways, I don't know how many churches you belong, don't make it a bit of difference. If you are not born again, you will not go to heaven. Do we really believe in God? Well, we can tell by testing ourselves by asking this one question. Do we believe the witness about Christ? Now, this passage covers two dynamic witnesses. There's the witness of God himself in verse 9 and 12, and there's the witness of John in 13 and 15. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. See, husbands believe wives, and wives believe husbands. Children believe their parents, and they believe teachers. Businessmen believe the words of the employees. Juries believe the testimonies of witnesses. We all accept reports of the news media and the word of friends every day. This being so, how much greater is the witness of God? Men interpret facts. They sometimes exaggerate and twist the facts. We are never completely free of exaggeration or twisted facts. He never lies or deceives. What God says is always true. It is plain and simple truth. Therefore, God's record about his son should be believed. Every human being should believe God's record of his son. What is the witness? Note that the verse says, this is the witness of God which he has testified of his son. The witness is that Jesus Christ is his son. Jesus Christ is the son of God whom God sent into the world to save man. It is this that we should believe. Now, God's witness lives within the hearts of the believer. In verse 10 it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness of him in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. I remember one day many, many, many eon years ago, my ship was steaming toward Okinawa for the invasion. We had a load of young Marines, seasoned Marines, 19 years old. Those guys were the toughest and the best in the whole world. It's just like our servicemen and women overseas. They're the best, they're the toughest. But you know what? I don't think there was an atheist in the whole stinking bunch. No, I don't believe there was an atheist. They were putting their life on the line. They knew when they stepped off our ship and landed in Naha that they were going to be greeted by thousands of Japanese bullets. And they had to just know that their life was on the line. Listen to me, friends, listen. That morning was Easter Sunday morning, and I was a telephone talker, and what my job was, I was stationed on the aft of the ship, and when they held up a particular number, I held that number up, and this P-boat came in, and the Marines went down over the side and loaded into that ship, into that boat. And I remember I was so scared. Oh, my friend, I was so scared. People who say they weren't scared is a liar, a truth, and they never were there. And I prayed, and I said, oh, God, I'm not ready to die. Lord, if there's any way you can get us out of this alive, I pray that you will. Oh, Lord, I'll do anything for you if you want me to. You know, friends, I tried to cut deals with God while I was an alcoholic, when I was a gambler. I tried to cut deals with God. I said, Lord, you let me win this big pot, and I'll guarantee you I'll go home to my family. I'd win the pot, but I wouldn't go home to my family. You can't cut a deal with God. Friends, listen. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Tonight, your life might be in shambles. You may have been unfaithful to your wife. You may be unfaithful to your husband. And you're crushed, and you don't know what to do. You want to get rid of that guilt. You want to get rid of that guilty stain. There's only one way to get rid of it, friends, and that's by confessing to the Lord that you are a sinner. And the Bible says in Romans 8:23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, we've all sinned. Then you need to recognize that Jesus is the Christ. Now, if you don't believe the record, you are calling Almighty God a liar. Don't do that, beloved. Don't call God a liar. His Son was sent into the world to save your soul and to wash away your sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, Cecil, listen, you don't know the sins that I've done. I'm into dope. I'm an alcoholic. Listen to me. He said, he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. Your sins are not so bad that you can't come to him. Become as a little child. You got to repent. That means you got to turn your back on the old way of life and hold up your hand and say, Lord, here I am, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm sorry for my sins. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Listen, friends, there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. I used to know Jimmy Carter when he was governor. In fact, he gave me a $35,000 grant to buy a place for alcoholics. And you know what? I sat in his office. We talked for a long time. I never say that he was a very great president, but he was a good Christian at least. And you know what? You might say, well, I know Jimmy Carter when I see him. He does a great work in humanitarian work, but I don't know him personally. Well, you can hear all day about Jesus, but if you don't know him in a personal way by receiving him into your heart, you say, Cecil, but I'm not religious. It don't make a difference. You're religious. You're a sinner, aren't you? Well, sure you are. The Bible said we've all sinned. So then you need to confess it. You know, my dear wife, bless her heart, she was a do-gooder. Here was her three sins, cussing, drinking, and smoking. That was the three sins that she thought was the worst in the world. But she didn't believe Jesus. She believed that she was not a sinner. She was not a sinner. Well, friend, you can't get saved until you realize you are a sinner. You cannot. Until you're willing to tell God you're sorry and become as a child. That's pretty hard to do. You got to swallow your pride. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, you've got to swallow your pride. Listen to me. Listen, friends. Let's supposing tonight is your last night on this earth, and you'll die tonight, maybe. Well, now, where will you go? Do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? You say, well, Cecil, I'm so confused, I don't know. Well, the Bible said this is written that you may know, not guess, not hope. You may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, listen. If the Spirit of the living God is tugging at your heart tonight and your life is in a shambles and you're an alcoholic, you're a drug addict, you're a homosexual, lesbian, whatever you are that's wrong, are you willing to bow your head to me right now and ask Jesus to forgive it? Well, here's how it goes. Now, don't pray this, beloved, unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me for Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that, I want you to... Here's my mailing address, Cecil Moe, Post Office Box 745, Littleton, Colorado, 80120. I also have an email number. The announcer will tell you what that number is if you'd like to contact me. I don't care where you go to church, dear friend. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. That's all I'm concerned about. Well, I do believe that there's many people tonight who would like to trust Jesus, but you're a little confused. I'd like to have you get a hold of me. I'll call you on the phone. If you're an alcoholic, I'll talk to you. So I am concerned. Well, friend, until this time next week, I want you to stay sweet, keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.